Chubby growing up. But that's what we called them, and they rode around on giant tricycles. Man, I forgot all about them. Anyway, we're talking about small towns and talking about life in the small town, and now we're not, because it's season 7, episode 48, and we have to thank our guest from Thanksgiving week. That would be Mark Schrankel, and he is the stepdad on I Am Shauna Ray, the hit TLC reality show. That was a fun fun interview. He was a real cool dude.
He's your cousin.
Yeah, he's actually, I'm blood related to him, and that's pretty cool. He's just an all around creative dude, so it was great to speak to him. And I'm going to try to get him on the podcast when it returns. On
get
the 12th.
Him to make a trolley puppet for you.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Well, yeah, he's a puppeteer too. He makes his own puppets. Well, we have this guy.
Could get a puppet made.
He's still really concerned about
COVID. He's got a mask.
Well, he's concerned about COVID. It's important that you wear the mask, especially because you don't know. Pencils do not prevent you from catching communicable diseases. RSV is very scary to the red box troll. And so is, what's that other one? Oh, yeah, the flu. Yeah. He's gotten three.
And Mpox. You don't want him to get Mpox.
And He had Mpox.
Oh, he did.
Mildew's a bad one.
Yeah, he got out of here one night, and he came home. His ass was just torn off. See, I had to sew. So it's shut. You can't tell because I'm a good seamstress. And you can tell by looking at it. But it was.
Chad's going to take that back after he sees how you abused it.
I didn't abuse it. He went out. I locked the door. I don't know how he got out of here.
He can't control that troll.
He started out at Local 7, which is the bar in downtown Tucker. But that kind of stuff doesn't go on there. But anyway, he came back. His nipples were blue. And usually they're black. So anyway. He's been clean of it for a while, so that's why I don't mind touching him. But I'm going to put him away now. Anyway, thanks again to Mark. I didn't mean to diverge into this weird direction. I ended up talking to his father on Facebook, who is my mom's cousin. And one of the last people she went to visit, she went out to Chicago to hang out with him because they were close and they were kids. And I think that's kind of cool to meet somebody that you're related to that you've never spoken to, and then also somebody you haven't seen since you were a kid. So, like I said, we're going to have Mark. I'm going to have Mark on the podcast to talk about the show and talk about him and how he and I are related. But the podcast does return on the 10th of December. And I'm hoping to have Gen X Santa, which is a character that we created for the Jared Yamamoto Tim Andrews fill-in radio show. That was the Friday after Thanksgiving that had a whole bunch of technical issues, so we couldn't do anything. But Josh Warren was going to play Gen X. Nice. And I want to do it live. We were going to record it tomorrow, but hopefully if I can get him to do it, we'll do it live and take calls from kids. Because we've got this whole character worked out, and it's really cool. Also, if you haven't heard that show, Jared and I will eventually put it out as a podcast. But we had a great interview with Carl from Aqua Teen Hunger Force. Dave Willis called in, stayed in character for the whole interview. Jeff, you thought that was good, didn't you?
He called for Brian Daboll to be fired.
That's right. Giants head coach Brian Daboll. I'm doing Shill for Gill again this year. Not Gilligan, but I'm doing Shill for Gill, not Shill for Gilligan. Bob Denver has passed away all these many years ago. So he doesn't need any money, but Gil needs Christmas gifts anyway. Really what I'm doing is I'm offering voice greetings like I have every year for the holidays. For $25, they'll give you a customized MP3, and there's other levels we can go from there. But if you're interested in getting like Paul Stanley can say, hey, hi, is this Linda? Hi, Linda, your son Jeff, not the one on the show, but, Linda, a different Jeff. Wanted to wish you a happy birthday, so I said I would do it. I'm very busy on the Kiss cruise where I'm playing acoustic guitar and, showing off my chest hair, which I definitely don't dye. But that kind of thing, we'll send it to you. It could be, a president. It could be Trump if you want it. I don't care. I'm not going to judge anyone for any of their choices. If I can do it, I'll do it. So just go to Facebook.com/TimAndrewsATL. All the details are there. And there is a video version that I'll do, but that's a little bit more than $25. If you look below, I think Dustin is going to put it up or at least put a link in the show notes. I did a fun Christmas playlist that I call Reindeer Sausage. It's available on Spotify. It's novelty songs, goofy stuff, traditional songs, some modern songs, but I'm not a big fan of the modern ones. I'm also not a hater of Mariah Carey. I think her Christmas song is amazing, and it sounds like an old 50s type of 60s type of song, you know, like a Wall of Sound type of song, like the Ronettes. It gives me a vibe, and I like it, so screw you if you hate it. Last plug, and then we'll get going. I want to thank our listener, Terry, who is a Radio Labyrinth producer, and let her know, first off, that the T-shirt company that hosts all of our shirts is not letting us sell, buy them, and I don't know why, and I got to get to the bottom of it, but more on that later. She wants to help us with the YouTube channel grow and expand, and she's going to be speaking with Dustin and I in the very near future, so thank you, Terry.
Who died?
Who died?
Who died?
What's wrong? Who died?
What happened? Who died?
Irene Cara of fame, and she did the music for Flashdance, did the song Flashdance, What a Feeling, parenthetical. But really broke out with the musical Fame, which was originally on Broadway, I think. I'm not sure. I don't remember. But it was a fun movie that came out in 1980.
Yeah, real fun.
And when you're 10, well, there's some hot. Anyway, not really. There's no hotness in it. But it was a movie when you're 10 years old that had boobs in it, at least at some point. And the context in which you see them doesn't really matter. You just happen to see them. And but it was a good movie, and it ended up being a TV show. But Irene Cara did the famous song, and then she also had a couple of other hits. Flashdance, What a Feeling was really, really a big hit, and then really not much after that, music wise. But she did a bunch of acting. Quit releasing music in 1994. She did stage acting through the 90s, television and film, up until about 2004. And I wonder why she stopped doing it. Maybe she had health problems or something, or maybe she wanted to
raise. I don't know. And they haven't said what the cause of death was.
Yeah.
She must have been in poor health.
Yeah, that's too bad. But Irene Cara, definitely, if you grew up when we did, if you're Gen X, you remember those songs, if you don't remember her. Even bigger musical loss to the music world, Christine McVie from Fleetwood Mac died. She
was almost 80. I had no idea.
Yeah. She passed away. She was in the band before Lindsey Buckingham and Stevie Nicks joined the band in the early 70s or whatever, mid 70s. And then they had all the songs, you know, but Fleetwood Mac was a blues based rock band before that. And Christina McVie was one of the vocalists and had a couple of songs that were popular. She was very talented, and I got to see her with Fleetwood Mac only once. When did you see them, Dustin? In the 80s, right?
Yeah, I saw them for the Rumors tour. I guess that would be like 88, 89. And they had gotten back together after being apart for so many years to release this album. And then they toured with it. And then I think they went back and, you know, broke back up shortly thereafter. But I mean, they were a roller coaster of drama issues with that band. I mean, intermarrying and divorcing and cheating and, you know, but they kept it all together and made music out of it. You know, they did original Taylor Swift.
Yes. Yeah. And pretty much the same age as Taylor Swift was when she, you know, broke into the pop world. You know, they were all young. Well, Lindsay and what's her face were young. Stevie Nicks were young.
All four of those individually are extremely talented. And her voice, you know, was definitely different than Stevie's. And that was that was what made their mix so good, was she had that low, sultry voice where Stevie could do, you know, anything, but she was there behind it. You know, she sang more than you realize she did, I think.
Yes. Yeah, she had a different voice, definitely, from Stevie. Stevie was an alto, and
for pop music, it's usually most are, except for like Mariah Carey and Whitney Houston, and you know, those were sopranos, but most are altos.
There's a Lizzo soprano. You just have to be really fat and wear a skin. But you can sing at any range and play the flute. Now, before you get mad, I don't hate Lizzo.
But what are you watching?
Watching here.
What are you watching?
Okay, so what are we watching?
What are we watching?
What are you watching?
My name's Soprano, not LoJack.
LoJack. Speaking of Sopranos, I assume that you guys are watching Tulsa King on Paramount Plus.
I watched the first three.
Yeah, I did too.
I watched some of the first one. I'm familiar with it.
I was like, I don't know. And I didn't know anything about it. I just saw Stallone and I saw the name and I'm like, I don't know what this is about. Then I looked into it a little bit and saw the names Dominic Lombardozzi.
Yep. With hair.
With a wig on. But he's from a lot of things we like, most notably, of course, The Wire.
Ray Donovan. He was on Ray Donovan, too.
Ray Donovan, yeah. That was a good season. You had Vincent Piazza, who was on Boardwalk Empire. He was also, he had a very small role on The Sopranos, but he's best known as playing Lucky Luciano on Boardwalk Empire. You had, Max Casella, who was Benny on The Sopranos. Benny, who, beats the shit out of Artie at his house. Annabella Sciorra, she's on The Sopranos. You can see where I'm going with this. You have some side characters that are good. Martin Starr plays a guy named Bodie who runs the pot shop. It's a cool show. Andrea Savage, who is awesome. I think she's funny. She's beautiful. She really can.
Yeah, it was sad they canceled her show.
Her show was funny as shit.
Yeah.
But I guess we wouldn't have gotten this show with her. But, she's super talented and very funny. Of course, Stallone is the star. And you saw Dana Delaney in it. Dana Delaney, who's nice to see. She's riding up on a horse. So we'll see how it goes. Three episodes in so far. There's some funny moments. I mean, really very funny moments. An actor named Jay Will. There's no picture of him in here, but he plays Tyson, who is the guy that Stallone hires to drive him around. The premise of the show is he's a mob guy, gets out. He's a capo in the mob. He gets out of jail after doing 25 years. He's in his early 70s, and he's expecting, because he kept his mouth shut, to be rewarded. And he finds out that he's not going to be rewarded, and he ends up getting sent to Tulsa. And then he has to go out there, and he has to send money back, five G's a week to New York to the boss. And he's got to find a way to make that money. So he does what mob guys do. And is that an anti-hero? Is that what they call it?
Yeah.
He's a bad person. I mean, he's a criminal, but he's also pretty much a good guy. Pretty much a good guy. It's hard to do slow. It's not easy to do slow. So you have to practice it. Because I know this doesn't sound like him very much. I know it doesn't, but there's things going on with his voice, He's kind of, sometimes he slurs a little bit, and other times he doesn't. He's older now, so you can't do the early Rocky. So it's hard to do Stallone. Not very many people do a very good Stallone. You gotta go, yo, Adrian. That's not a good Stallone. But I promise I'll keep working on it. I don't know why. But, he's been around for a long time. Maybe by the time he's dead, I'll be able to do it. But I hope he dies.
Tulsa King got renewed for a second season today.
Yeah.
It's doing big numbers. They said it had more people watched it than that Game of Thrones show.
Yeah, the premiere was bigger ratings-wise than House of Dragon was.
Yeah, people like that stuff. Say what you want, but Taylor Sheridan makes some good TV shows and very popular TV shows. Yellowstone, 1883, which I like.
Yeah.
And then there's one coming out, another one coming out now with Harrison Ford. Stay off my farm. Get off my farm. I didn't kill my farm. I don't care. I wish I could do that as well. It's not easy to do so, but I'm going to keep trying. If you guys hate it, I'll stop. I saw some of the writers, the names being thrown around. You see a Van Patten here. So that's Tim Van Patten directing episodes. Terrence Winter, writer, director from The Sopranos. So, I'm a huge Sopranos fan. They go off and do stuff like that. I'll watch it. That's why occasionally I'll watch Blue Bloods, but you got to start from the beginning to know what's going on with Blue Bloods. But, that's a David Chase show, so it's not going to suck. Plus, Bobby's on it. Bobby Boccalieri. Anyway, drifting away. I highly recommend Tulsa King, and I think you guys should watch it.
Yeah, it's a fun show. He's a tough guy.
Yeah, he's good. But
for being an old guy.
If you had a heart of gold, and apparently he's different. That clockwork. I guess if you're put your lips down a little bit. Maybe you get a little bit more.
You got a Philly accent.
You know, you got to go down there, you know, and do that noise. We was going up to Lancaster the other day, and I said, who's going to run over to Amish? I said, don't you do that. Don't you run over to Amish. See, now I don't want to be doing the Pittsburgh. Pittsburgh accent's a little more like this, right? Down in Philly there, they talk like this. You know, you're going to go up there to Mount Alto. Yeah, fuck it. I'm just going to do it. What else are we all watching now? Dustin and I are both way behind on White Lotus. I saw the spoiler that you put in there, Jeff.
Yeah. Big thing happened at the end of the last episode.
I saw it. I looked at the spoiler. But I will be caught up hopefully by next week. We still haven't watched a Christmas Story sequel.
I'm saving that for around Christmas.
Yeah, we are. I want to watch that closer to Christmas too, and I want all of us to be able to watch it in the house. Now, Gil won't care, but Caitlin and I both love Christmas Story, and maybe even watch Christmas Story first and then that would be kind of cool.
Yeah.
Messy Bobby did that. Messy Bobby, he used to make the chocolate milk using the Hershey's chocolate milk, and that don't spill. That's the thing about that, that don't spill. But he was messy. He's Messy Bob, Peter Billingsley. He was a good actor. I don't know what happened to him. Do you guys hear that? One of the bully sidekicks from that movie got in trouble because he hangs outside of the house, and the guy who owns the house is selling it, and he came out and started swearing at him. It's on TMZ. He's like, "Get the fuck out of here, fucking scam artist!" Yeah, and he's just hanging out there, you know, trying to scam people allegedly. So the owner of the house just freaked out on him, and of course, it made news because the movie's out. Did you guys all, you didn't finish 1899 or did you guys finish it?
Dustin, yeah, I finished it.
I haven't finished it yet.
So I'm not going to spoil it for you, but I really enjoyed it and I had no idea what to expect. I wasn't looking ahead. I wasn't looking at spoilers or anything. And I was very surprised by that show.
Yeah, they had the holodeck and everything.
Yeah, they had the holodeck, sure.
Did you watch the, how did you watch it? Did you watch the dubbed version?
Yeah.
Or the...
I watched it in English with the subtitles on.
So did I, because I wanted to be able to. It was so visually beautiful to watch a lot right. of the scenery that I didn't want to be looking at words.
The problem with watching it with the dubbed is it's a wrong dub. What happens is you've got this ship with all these different people from different countries on it. And
they're all speaking their native language.
They're all speaking their native language. And if you watch with the original sub on, where it plays English, but it also, they speak in their foreign languages, but it just tells you what they're saying. Uh-huh. It makes the interconnections with the people make more sense.
You didn't really need to know what they were saying when those two guys were jacking each other off through the gate.
that was self-explanatory.
But you're right. Maybe I'll go back and watch it again. I don't know if I can watch it again. I hope it gets another season. Because they definitely left you with a weird ending, but you don't know if it's real or not. So that's the cool thing about it. And I will admit the first episode, I was thinking, oh God, this is Lost at Sea, but it's not. And it's good. So there you go.
I was certain that kid ate everybody on that boat.
Yeah.
Oh, the one with the little tattoo. Yeah.
So I guess we're all supporting that show.
Yeah, sure.
Yeah, it was good. I watched all of it.
Stephanie was texting us, Steph, in our little radio labyrinth text thread, and she said she really likes Wednesday, and I hadn't gotten around to watching it. Jeff said he'd watched a couple episodes, so I watched the first episode, and that's a definite views for me. I'm going to continue watching it. It's good.
Yeah, it's fun.
Entertaining, fun. Tim Burton written all over it. It's the Addams Family. Got a great cast. You know,
the monster looks like Large Marge.
Yes, the monster does look like Marge. I thought the same thing. I'm like, what the fuck?
Tim Burton finally rehashing characters now.
Yeah, but it had those bug eyes from like the 80s, like blown up stuff. Yeah. Luis Guzman plays Gomez Adams. You got Catherine Zeta Jones as Morticia. They're both really good in those roles. Christina Ricci playing the head of the school. Or one of the teachers at the school. And then you have Jenna Ortega in the role of Wednesday Adams. is it Gwendolyn or Gwendolyn?
Gwendolyn.
Gwendolyn Christie from Game of Thrones and that first shitty Star Wars movie. She's in it. She's really good. Isaac Ordonez plays Pugsley. And then you have, let's see, Thora Birch is in it, but I haven't seen her yet because I've only so far watched the first one, and I've yet to see Fred Armisen. Do you guys watch, you guys always used to watch this, Two Bears, One Cave?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Did you watch the one with Tarantino without Bert?
No, I started to watch it, yeah. But I didn't have time to finish it.
It was good. It was
good. Yeah.
I love it when you watch it on YouTube because then the next thing that popped up when it was finished. And by the way, he does a lot of great talking about casting and how he likes to do his business. He's got a TV show and he's really, really good with Segura. But when you finish, you know, the YouTube algorithms, the first thing that popped up was that Norm MacDonald Saturday Night Live sketch where he's doing it. This guy had a big head. Okay. Giant and big. Okay. That was a great impression. It's the one where Walter Cronkite is trying out for a movie. He goes, let's do it. Oh, he's trying to be the Gimp from Pulp Fiction. He goes, yeah, you live in your basement, okay? And they constantly rape you with violent gay sex. They zoom in on Walter Cronkite. Let's do it. So yeah, that's one thing I like about YouTube, among other things. I don't hate it like other people. And speaking of YouTube, if you're watching this video, hey, hit that subscribe button, right? Hit that like button, right? Turn on the notifications, right? I don't know why I never have notifications on, but the other stuff, yeah, do that. All right, we have a guest coming up. His name is Jay Tyroff. He is the producer of The Ark of Lilburn. What is The Ark of Lilburn, you're saying? Well, The Ark of Lilburn is a movie, a documentary about a man in Lilburn who worked at owned a steel manufacturing outfit, and he built a boat. He always wanted a boat. It's not yet seaworthy, and right now it's in Knoxville, Tennessee. They drove it all the way from Lilburn, Georgia, to Knoxville, Tennessee, to put in the water and take down to the Gulf of Mexico. That has yet to happen yet, but the story is about them getting the boat out and getting it on the road and getting it up there.
It's almost been like a member of my family. I remember it always being this folklore legend.
Left alone, collected dust for 12 years now. I need to finish what I started.
One, two, three. When I think about that boat, I think about my dad.
I call it an oversized paperweight.
Several people just hate the boat.
This is a normal situation.
People have lived in Lilburn for a long time. They've heard about it from somebody.
They built the boat inside the building. It's a ship in a bottle.
You could take every safety precaution to move that thing, but there's always that one idiot.
I don't trust men with ponytails.
If a crane can't lift it and a trailer can't haul it, that's when I get the call.
A better idea came up, moving it with a house mover.
House movers? They've hired house movers to move that boat.
There'll be a repair for that.
It ain't gonna look good.
Logan's up cold cocking this thing in the middle of the yard.
All they have to do is take a sawzall with a metal blade, try to make a straight line around it.
I ain't cutting my boat. If I gotta chop the top of the boat off, I'm gonna throw it out here in the woods and float down the creek.
They weld right back together. This is a welding company.
Stop.
I have made arrangements to file a Reclevin lawsuit.
My dad looked me in the eyes and he said, I knew I should have done this myself.
Welcome to the show. Jay is the producer of The Ark of Lilburn, which is a documentary film coming out. Lilburn's just a hop, skip, and a jump down the road from me here in Tucker. Just get on Lawrenceville Highway and drive till you get to Lilburn. A man's dream of building a steel boat hits troubled water, and it's up to his son to salvage it. So a couple months ago now, or maybe a month, probably a couple months ago. It's been a while because of football season that the podcast has been on the air, but all of you guys were in to record The Ark of Lilburn, and you can find that on any of your podcatchers. Just find the podcast with Tim Andrews. But Jay and I went out to lunch last week at Matthew's in Tucker, and before we get to talking about, you know, the thing that we're here to talk about, is he starts talking about Lowe. Now, who is Lowe?
So Lowe's the owner of Porter Steel.
Yes.
He's actually the one who built the boat.
Okay. So he starts talking to me about Lowe, and in my brain, I'm thinking about Lowe, who's a friend of ours in Tucker, who is also a landscaper. And I go, yeah, have you seen him lately? Yeah, he's got a real long beard, and he's got these gauges in his ears. And Jay's just nodding along, pretending like he knows what I'm talking about. I go, yeah, he's going to plant a tree for Caitlin in our yard. And, you know, he got on our roof a couple of weeks, and Jay's just standing there nodding. Yeah. And then later on, I figured out that's not who we were talking about. But I like the fact that you let me dig my own hole there. That was funny.
I thought Loden took up another profession. I was like, wow.
But then you're right. I remembered Lowe is the primary star of the movie. Now, did you guys watch any of these trailers or see anything or know what's going on with this?
Yeah, I listened to your episode when it came out.
Yep.
Yeah. The trailer looks great.
They got picked up by Gravitas Ventures, right? That's a big time studio.
Yeah, Gravitas. Sony Pictures Classics was going to pick it up, but they more or less distribute theatrical. I ended up befriending the vice president of acquisitions at Sony. And just through my numerous emails, I was shooting out trying to get distro on this thing. And he was one of the ones to respond, and, you know, kind of went from there. But they asked me, do you see this going theatrical? I was like, oh, no, this is definitely a streamer. It's a documentary. I don't think many people will go to a theater to watch the documentary.
Right. Right.
But yeah, Gravitas, you know, had a boner for it first time they saw it. And it was just nonstop. They were just nagging me all, you know, every other day. And I really didn't like their first offer, so I just really wasn't giving them a time of day. But it eventually worked out. Coming out December 6th.
December 6th. All right. So where are people going to be able to find it once it comes out? And by the way, in the interview on the podcast, we spoke to the director, Nick Decay, and also we spoke to Lowe's son, Cole, right?
That's correct.
Cole Porter, not the jazz guy. Cole Porter, which I asked him when we were doing the interview if he gets that a lot, and he said yes.
Yeah, I assume most of them are, you know, silver haired or, you know, above 50 that know who Cole Porter is.
But the cool thing, and we'll keep going here, but the cool thing for me is when you guys came on the podcast, it was the first one I decided I wasn't going to do massive amounts of prep for. I just did all the information that I thought. I had a couple of questions, and then we had such a good time, and we could have gone longer, but it was pretty much all stream of consciousness, and it was fun.
Yeah, it was great. We got a good response from that.
You did. Good. Because
putting posters around town, like around Lilburn and Lawrenceville and Tucker. Mm-hmm. And people are like, what is this movie? And I go to explain it, and they're like, oh, it's The Boat, Porter Steele. I listened to you on the radio on WFP.
That's like, cool. Oh, okay. That's awesome that people heard that, because it did run a couple of times.
Yeah.
And I think that everybody that listens to the podcast is an audience that listens to this or listens to the Von Hessler Doctrine, but it might not be. It just might be somebody listening on a Saturday afternoon.
Yeah, it was just someone out of the blue. And it happened several times when I was out.
That's awesome. Jay, so you were saying December 6th. Now, is there a specific platform it'll be exclusive to, or will it be available everywhere or on demand or what?
Yeah, you'll be able to get it anywhere on demand. Amazon Prime, iTunes, Dish Network, pretty much anywhere. We're hoping that it'll stream on Netflix or Discovery Plus either March or April of 2023.
Now, what is the hashtag the hardship?
So that's the actual name of the boat.
Okay. That's the name of the boat.
That makes sense.
Yeah. Lo called it the hardship because it's like a double meaning. It's a hardship and it's a hardship.
Yeah.
Because it took him forever to build it.
It's a steel boat and a pain in the ass. Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. And boy, was it a pain in the ass to get it out and to get it where it's at now. I mean,
so you'll be doing a behind the scenes thing. Well, no, you'll come and meet. You can meet Lowe, and I believe you guys, the cast and crew, on December 6th at Wild Wing Cafe in Snellville, Georgia, from 6 to 9 p.m. And so if you're around that area or if you're in the general area and you want to go, go out and check it out. I mean, and plus you get some wings.
Yeah. People have asked me, you know, why aren't you having it in Lilburn? And this was kind of an impromptu thing.
Yeah.
And one of Lowe's like really good friends owns this Wild Wings. And Lowe used to like, that's where he used to drink. So it's like, perfect place. That's where he used to hang out. All of his friends will be there. So he's coming into town. So he's excited about it.
Are you showing the movie or just doing a meet and greet?
Yeah, we'll have the movie going up on the in the background on the big screen.
Everybody can get the full story by going to that podcast episode. But just in a nutshell, can you kind of encapsulate how this came to be and how you got involved?
Well, I was on a location scout for another film, and we needed a decrepit looking building from one of the scenes. I just happened to be driving by Porter Steel in Lilburn, and I was like, and I was on the phone with my director Nick, and I was like, wait a minute, I gotta pull in this building. And I went and talked to Cole, and he was like, yeah, you're definitely interested. So he gave me a tour of the building. He's like, if you need to use our boat, it's back here. And keep in mind, you can't see the boat from the street or from anywhere because it's inside the building. Like when he was building this boat, I guess over the years his business grew, and basically he built the building around the boat.
Yeah, tell everybody how big the boat is and all that.
So the boat's about 55 feet long, about 22, 23 feet high. It weighs about 130,000 pounds.
Damn.
So it is a giant ship. It's a ginormous yacht is what it essentially is. And I walked back in the back where it's at, and I said, you know, I was expecting a boat that you would launch in Lake Lanier or just somewhere locally. And
yeah,
this thing is like ginormous. So I was like, holy shit, what are you planning to do with this thing? And they're like, we're actually in the middle of trying to move it. I was like, move it where? He's like, to Tampa. And I was like, what? there's no way. Like, how are you getting out of the building? And they're like, well, we're gonna have to take apart, you know, half the building to get it out. And I'm like, what? And I was like, who do y'all have like gonna move this thing? Because nobody wanted to move it essentially, and they've been trying to do this for years. And then I come around, movie producer, and I'm like, my brain's just going. And I'm like, who are you moving it? Who's gonna move this boat? And they told me, a Florida man with a ponytail. Oh gosh, I need to film it. I was like, this is like gold. Let me film it. And about 3 days later, I told Cole before I left, I said, hey, get your dad to come into town. If I would love to pitch him the idea. So 3 days later, I took him out to dinner. It took about a month and a half because there was a lot of, because Lowe didn't know how tax credits work, didn't know anything about Hollywood, and he self-funded it. So it was, he came in as the executive producer on the film, and it took a lot of convincing, a lot of wooing.
Yeah.
And he eventually came around, and once everything was good with the lawyers and everything, and the operating agreement was drawn up, everybody was happy. And yeah, we shot the film in October 1st, 2020. And it was essentially going to be a 25-day shoot, which then turned into, we wrapped February 1st, 2021.
Wow. Was that because of COVID?
Well, it wasn't because of COVID. It was because of the idiot boat movers.
Okay.
And I say boat movers with an S, because the first one didn't cut it. And okay, neither did the second or the third one.
So the guy with the ponytail didn't cut it, huh?
Oh man, I don't want to give away too much, but yeah, don't give away. That guy is a piece of work, but he makes for great TV. I wouldn't be surprised if he gets his own TV show out of this.
That's what surprises me the most is, and maybe, you know, because there could be a sequel to this. I see this as something that would be on TV on one of those networks that just, you know, plays over and over that people love. You know what I mean? Oh, like OnStars or the Knife Show that we watch sometimes.
So the whole premise of the show is this father and son dynamic, the relationship. The boat's just the problem. And a lot of people are going to relate to this film if you've ever worked with a family member or a sibling, and you know you just go back and forth, and you see this amazingly on film. It is crazy just how Lowe doesn't give Cole his due. It's like, you did a good job for the most part.
So Jay, what else do you do in the film industry besides the documentary? Do you make other films, other feature films, or shows? And I know that you're also a stuntman.
Yeah, I've been a stuntman for almost 17 years now. I've probably appeared in over 130 film and television episodes.
That's cool. Can people see your face?
Yeah, you can definitely see my face in a lot of stuff, but a lot of times it's just a blur.
Yeah.
I'm either doing the stunt for the double, or I'm just doing something in the background that's fairly dangerous. I mostly drive a lot. That's kind of my, I guess, craft. And get set on fire quite often, too.
Oh, okay. Yeah, that happens a lot to me. Jeff, you were going to say something and I stepped on you.
I was just going to say, I saw Mr. Mercedes was listed in your credits. We were all really into that.
Oh, man, that was a really good show. I doubled Brendan Gleeson on that. I was the lead double on that. So I had to wear the fat belly. Because he is a little bigger than I am, but not by much. But we had the same exact facial hair, and they just kind of wigged me up a little bit and grayed my hair and lightened my beard. But yeah, it was a great show.
You've doubled for a few other big names as well, haven't you?
Yeah, I've doubled for Will Ferrell in Anchorman 2.
For the fight scenes?
Yes. Yes. I actually double Will in that and played another news anchor in the fight scene. So I'll come in on the Doom buggy straddling Tina Fey and Amy Poehler. And the director of the arc, Nick, he's actually driving the Doom buggy.
Oh, really?
You got to fight Jim Carrey then.
Yeah, I did fight Jim Carrey. Jim Carrey actually took my eye out with the hockey stick. Nice. Yeah, that was probably one of the funner movies I've done with such a big cast. And then that was when Kanye West came out and he was playing like MTV VJs. And I think they just gave him some role just to say he was in the movie. But I remember when he rapped, everybody clapped. All the crew, everybody clapped when he left because he is such a drama queen.
Probably edited him out of it.
Oh, man. Hey, Kim Kardashian was on set too. So.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Did you get to meet her?
I did.
Nice. How do they look in person? Because whenever you see her, she's in a magazine or on TV. So there's filters galore. She's that beautiful in person.
I mean, she's good looking for sure. But that booty goes for days.
Does it really?
It's ginormous.
It's implanted, though.
It's implanted. Yeah. Right.
I noticed that you were also in Baby Driver. Did you do some of the work in Baby Driver? That was astounding.
Yes, I actually doubled Kevin Spacey in that movie.
Nice.
Wow.
More actually, problematic.
Yeah. So I was.
You ever double for Charlie Sheen?
I was warned before I doubled him. I was like, you might get hit on. And I did, actually.
He hit on you. Tell us.
Oh, yeah.
Tell us, Kevin Spacey.
You
hit
can't on. Because of the lawsuit.
Yeah. He's not in it.
Oh, I'm not in it. I mean, I was in the hair and makeup trailer getting my wig put on. And he comes in, introduces himself. He was about to get his makeup on. And
hi.
So we start chatting for, you know, about 5 or 10 minutes, and he was like, I guess he was finished, and he was like, hey, you want to come to my trailer? And I'm like, actually, I have to go to set and actually get and do a rehearsal for one of your stunts. I was like, I'm okay.
And he accepted that with no problem. He didn't like put anything in your drink.
No. Nah. Not that I know. It didn't work. But yeah, but that was Baby Driver was a fun movie.
I'm yeah, still stuck on Kevin Spacey hitting on your drink.
The driving and Baby Driver was some of the best movie driving ever. And if you did any of that, that's awesome.
Yeah. So the main guy driving who actually doubled Baby in that movie, Ansel Elgort, his name's Jeremy Fry. Probably one of the best stunt drivers in our industry. And the Subaru that was driven in that, the red car, the lead, or I guess the hero car. My buddy actually owns that here locally.
Oh, nice. He still flies up the connector and that thing.
Oh yeah. He says he drives it often.
Nice.
When you were a kid, and we talked about this when we had lunch, but you were a fan of Hal Needham and, the Smokey and the Bandit type of things. And also not Cannonball Run, but what's the one we talked about? Oh, Hooper with Jan Michael Vincent.
Yes. That was actually, that whole movie was based upon an actual stuntman, and his name is Buddy Joe Hooker. And he's actually in town now filming the new Francis Ford Coppola movie, Megalopolis.
Oh,
now it's actually stunt driving on that as a cop.
Oh, that's cool.
About two, three weeks ago.
Are you allowed to tell the story you told me, or do you want to wait until the film comes out?
I could talk. I'd tell that story.
Yeah, tell a story. These guys will dig it.
Oh, yeah. So, during the scene, I come up. It's like one of the first scenes of the movie. And I come up, coming in hot, and I'm sliding my police car to a mark. And the actors come running out to the front of the building, and I'm supposed to near miss them, and they're supposed to kind of get scared and go on a different route because they're trying to, I guess Francis wanted them to make him look busy instead of going in a straight line. They wanted to kind of zigzag to get to their limo that they were trying to walk to in a hurry.
Mm-hmm.
And before the scene, as a cop, you wear the police hat. So if I'm wearing my police hat the correct way, I had put mine backwards because it looked like I was wearing an Italian hat, and it looked weird, but it looked like it was supposed to be worn that way. But I was just wearing it to be funny and totally forgot that it was still backwards, and I had to go inside. Well, I went, and when we ran the scene, I went inside, got out, did my slide, got out of the car, run inside, and they're shooting at the door as we come in. And Francis is sitting behind camera in his little chair. And I come running in with my hat backwards, and we lock eyes as soon as I come in because he's looked at me and he goes, and I'm like, oh shit, my hat's backwards. And then I just continue doing my thing. And then he yells, cut, 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 cut. That guy right there, he's in the wrong wardrobe. He seriously thought I was in the complete wrong wardrobe as the cop because my hat. So that was hilarious.
It sounds like a decent guy. You were telling me that he still uses old school monitors for the playback and stuff.
Yeah, he's a real nice guy. And I think before we shot, we did this like a little Italian, almost a cheer before we started filming. And it was in Italian. He had us all repeat it, and I couldn't repeat it if you asked me.
So his sister played by wife in Rocky, right? His sister played by wife in Rocky. Either here or there. I was trying to do Stallone earlier. I don't do a very good
job. I actually know his stunt double.
You do?
His stunt double lives in town. Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
Atlanta, the hub of stuntery.
Oh, yeah. He did a lot of stuff for Stallone and Kurt Russell.
Kurt Russell's in a great movie with cars that Quentin Tarantino.
Death Proof.
Death Grindhouse. Proof. Yeah, Death Proof. That was that's intense.
Buddy Joe Hooker doubled Kurt Russell in that.
Buddy Joe Hooker. Man, how old is Buddy Joe Hooker if Hooper is based on him?
Buddy's old. Old guy. But yeah.
That was who they were basing. That's who Quentin was basing that character off of as well, was him.
Really?
A killer version of him. But yeah. Stuntman Mike. Yeah.
Yep.
Well, before we let you go, what was the first movie you saw where there was a bunch of car stuff going on and stunts going on that made you go, God, I want to do that?
Oh, Fast and Furious. Definitely all the Fast and Furious stuff.
Yeah, you're young. When did the first one come out? 1940?
Probably when I was a sophomore in high school.
Okay.
When I was just getting my car.
And okay. You think he was going to go Blues Brothers?
Blues Brothers.
Because that was, those car crashes and those car scenes. Oh, I was that made me want to do it when I was a kid.
Yeah, Blues Brothers. Yeah, that was definitely a good one.
My favorite is The French Connection.
The French Connection.
They did it all in one shot, if I'm
shot differently than they had shot chase scenes ever before.
Yeah, that's super intense. Have you seen that movie, Jay?
I haven't seen the whole thing, but I've seen bits and pieces of it.
That part is just amazing. It's a very dated movie, of course.
Yeah.
But it's Gene Hackman, and you can't go wrong with Gene Hackman for the most part. Gene Hackman.
Great, great actor.
For the most part.
For the most part.
Well, there's some movies, like the one he did with Hugh Grant, where he's playing the doctor that's using homeless people for experiments. That was just like, where do I get the check?
Tell everybody again where you're going to be on December 6th.
Yeah, we'll be at Wild Wing Cafe in Snellville, 6:30 to 9:30. We'll be there. Some of the cast and some of the crew.
And where's the boat now? Can you tell us?
Oh, well, the boat's actually in Knoxville, Tennessee.
The wrong way.
Yeah.
So you got to go north to go south because the boat is considered a super load. So it can't go down any highway, and it would be too much money to go all back roads down to Tampa. Mm. And some people said, well, why didn't you go to Savannah? His dream was to take it down the Tennessee River through Alabama via the Tom Bigby Waterway, which has about 8 locks, I think, 8 or 9 locks, which then will take you to Mobile and out into the Gulf, and then he'd take it over to Tampa.
Cool.
So that'll be part two. So he wants to captain his own boat, and there still has to be 10% left in the inside before it's completely done. I mean, they don't even have the ballast weight in it yet. They still need to see if the motor will turn over. there's a lot of what ifs. It just has to go to sea trials to see if it's even seaworthy.
I'm going to watch it when it comes out. And if you want to see it, it'll be available on all the streaming platforms to rent or buy. Well, listen, man, happy holidays or Merry Christmas, whichever you prefer. We'll talk to you again in the future, I'm sure. We'll come back and talk about stunt doubling and the film industry and all that. And you make other films. So is there anything before you leave that you're working on right now that you can talk about?
Oh, they're actually making a remake of The Exorcist.
Oh.
It's actually not a remake, but a sequel to the original.
A sequel, so it's going to skip Exorcist 2, The Heretic.
Ellen Burstyn's back in it?
Yes.
Yeah. Really?
Yeah.
Yes.
But not Max von Sydow. He's dead.
Exactly. Jason Blum's heading that production.
Okay.
Yeah, Blumhouse. Yeah.
Yeah, Blumhouse.
Linda Blair will be in it, I assume.
I didn't see her out there when I was driving. Yeah. I was driving.
Yeah, they didn't mention her in anything. They haven't mentioned her in anything.
Yeah, I am not sure. I know there's a few new kids on it. They were there. We were doing some church scene, and I was doing a driving scene on second unit, driving the camera car.
All right, Jay, man, have a great holiday. Thanks again for coming on. The movie again comes out on December 6th. It's called The Ark of Lilburn, and we all look forward to seeing it.
Appreciate it, guys.
it's Christmas time. And you know what that means? It's Christmas time. It's the holiday season and all that jazz. On Radio Labyrinth, the next couple of weeks, we're going to be talking about our year-end Spotify tally sheet. If you have Spotify, we'll be talking about that. How many hours and how many times Tim Andrews listened to a Tom Segura track. You are going to laugh at me, and I will deserve it for that. And also, you know, the most podcasts and all that stuff. We're going to be talking about Christmas specials, Christmas movies, all that jazz coming up the remainder of this month. But first, let's thank our longtime sponsor, Atlanta Pizza in Euro. Say thank you to Mike and Kim Hall and everybody at the restaurant who has supported us for so long and been serving great food out there in Conyers, Georgia. AP&G has been undergoing some remodeling and adding new floors and a bar top area with 10 additional beer taps, and soon we'll have 16 beers on tap. So that's pretty cool if you like that kind of beer. They got local beer, they got out-of-town beer, craft beer, stuff like that. They're expanding their craft beer and on tap offerings, and they are excited for the holiday season and the coming new year. I think you should go out and try it. It's a good place to hang out, chill, watch a little sports, eat some good food, and drink a couple of crafty beers that taste good. Listen, if you're a business or a corporate client who is looking to book a food truck for your next private event or catered luncheon, please contact Mike Hall at Atlanta Pizza in Euro by calling 770-483-6228. AP&G loves serving the local community of Conyers, Covington, and East Metro Atlanta, and would love to thank them all for their continued support in business throughout the years. Atlanta Pizza in Euro is open for dine-in and takeout Monday through Friday from 11 to 9, Saturdays from 12 to 9, closed on Sundays. And we also have another sponsor, LDI Repro Printing. Listen, if you have a commercial or residential construction printing need, contact LDI Repro Printing of Athens. They've been in Athens since 2005, and they have a very fast turnaround and affordable prices. Listen, if it's something that you're looking for, give them a call today at 706-316-9366, or you can email them at athens@ldiline.com. Tell them that Radio Labyrinth sent you, and Brett will be happy to hear that. So, thank you to our sponsors.
Views, views.
Or.
And snooze.
Last week was Christmas Story Christmas. I'm holding that till Christmas. Dead to Me, final season. I watched the first two. I'm going to keep going on that. And Sex Lives of College Girls, I watched the first.
The name of that alone of those. Prevents me from putting that on my television.
It's so good, though.
I put it in my search bar, and I don't get through all of the words before I lose track of time. And
yeah.
It's so good, though. You should watch it. All right, this week, Views Just News, Willow, new series starts this week.
That's a Views.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah, I watched the first one already. It's good. It's cool how they kind of handled the Val Kilmer thing.
Don't spoil it.
No, but they there's like a nice little tribute to him at the very beginning. Not like tribute to him like he's dead, but to his character.
I haven't seen Willow since you and I walked out of the theater when it was in the movies. That's a long time ago.
Oh, wow. Yeah, we used to watch it. It was one of those holiday movies where we'd watch it every year for my childhood.
I saw clips of it, but yeah, not like you guys rewatched it. But yeah, Jeff and I went and saw it. I remember it was the summer of 89, was it not?
Yeah, something like that.
Maybe 88, I don't know.
George and Tammy, it's on Showtime. This is Michael Shannon and Jessica Chastain playing George Jones and Tammy Wynette.
Views. A little
6-episode miniseries. I like both of them. I like the music of George and Tammy.
Golden Rain.
Yeah. I'm going to watch that. It's a Views for me.
Yep. I'll give it a Views.
And the third one, nobody's going to Views this but me, but the His Dark Materials final season comes to HBO this week. It's been very good. If you didn't watch the first two seasons, you should. And the third season's going to be the best one yet because it's the best book of the three. Books that they're based on.
Girl. I watched the show about the sex teens.
Sex Lives of College Girls is a very good show. It's hilarious.
Can I do stuff with my pencil during?
Oh, yeah.
All right.
No, get out of here. Sorry, Empa. All right, guys, thank you for listening. Thanks to Jay for coming on the show. Make sure you check out The Arc of Lilburn, which comes out on December 6th. Thank you to Jeff and Dustin. And thank you for listening. Remember to like and share and turn on the alarm and jack off while you're watching. No, okay. Maybe we'll cut that out. Oh, keep it canon.
Keep it canon.